broken down every wall. He is our peace.
He is our peace.
Yes, He is our peace. Who has broken down
say praise the Lord. My goodness, you can beat that. You sound like you're somewhere else this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give the Lord a real big hand clap of praise if you love Him today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you've been listening to what we've been hearing the last good while, well, forever really, but if we're applying it to our heart, you got to know that He loves you this morning. You think you'd share all these great, great secrets with somebody He didn't love? He loves you this morning. Why don't you look at somebody, shake their hand, and tell them this? He loves me. He loves me. Aren't you glad He loves you this morning? Cast all your cares. Play. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, and I want you to sing with all your heart. He is our peace.
He is our peace. Who's broken down every wall.
Yes, He is.
Say amen. If you really believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Well, we're certainly glad to be in this service today. How many of you enjoyed church here last night? It wasn't just church, it was camp meeting. And the word of the Lord just gets better and better and better all the time. Brother Donnie said last night, if it gets any gooder, I don't know how we'll stand it. Well, I just like to echo that. If it gets any gooder, Brother Terry, we'll be out of here.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Well, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, there's somebody here this morning that hasn't been here in a good while. We've certainly been praying for this person that the Lord would just give them strength to be able to get back in the house of the Lord, because we know it's their desire to be here. Sister Linda Maxwell is in the service with us this morning. Give her a nice hand. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Sister Linda, God bless you. Praise the Lord. We've certainly been thinking about you, certainly been praying for you, and now you're back among us, so we say praise the Lord for that. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. I want to remember Brother Truman Lawson in prayer, having a lot of problems with his knee. They're looking maybe at knee replacements, so we want to pray for him today, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Barclay sends this in, that Sister Faith Green's daughter, Rachel, had her child, a little boy, by the name of William James Errett. On Friday evening, they're just asking that we would remember her and the baby for continued health, that the Lord would just be with them. So we just commit that unto the Lord this morning. This is from a brother in Portugal. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some time ago, I asked for prayer for a job situation. The church prayed and the Lord moved. I thank the Lord so much, and I thank the church for touching the Lord on my behalf. Now, another occurrence has took place. I have been out of work for over 9 months. I desperately need a job. I also need some papers and the revelation of a perfect will of God for my life. I am making my request known before the Lord, asking the saints of God at Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ to pray for me, believing that the Lord Jesus is more than able to provide. Thank you, and may God bless. So we just want to commit that unto the Lord. God is able to provide, isn't He? I want to remember Sister Susan Olive in prayer this morning. A lot of pain, unable to be in the service. I want to pray for Sister Estep. She has a bladder infection. We'll be having surgery. She goes on Monday to find out her date of surgery. So we do want to commit her to the Lord. I want to pray for Andrew Williams. Custody case will be granted to his mother. Also pray for the Williams family for spiritual needs. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Natalie Pinkston would like for the church to pray for her. She has been having problems with one of her ears. So we just commit that unto the Lord today. Brother Don, Sister Lisa Riddleboss sends this into unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Ben Davis. He's sick this morning. Brother Amos wants to offer this testimony. I want to thank the Lord for helping me find a lost electronic key. I committed it to God after diligently searching for it. One day while cleaning in the back of my house, I looked down and found it, and he wants to praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that testimony. I want to pray for Levi Walls, difficult breathing, has a fever, congestion. Also pray for the family. An unspoken prayer request that the Lord will make a way in a situation in their life. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Teresa White sends this in to please remember a lady in Flint, Michigan. She's been told that she has stage 4 cancer, heart problems, and a blood disease she got from a blood transfusion. She has 3 small children and needs a miracle. Sister Teresa wants us to remember she don't know the lady, but they was asked that we would request prayer on her behalf. I want to remember Brother and Sister Cooper in prayer. Sister Cooper's mother passed away on Friday night, so we want to remember those folks as they go through this time. Kirk Sacker says to please pray for Jesse Sacker. He is sick with bronchitis, so let's remember that need this morning. We'll just commit it all unto the Lord. Also, we want to welcome Brother Rob Weber's mother to be in the service with us this morning. Give her a nice hand. God bless you. We're glad to have you. And Sister Weber, we know that you love your son and his family. I want you to know we love him too. We appreciate the Weber family, and we just appreciate everybody. Look at somebody and say, I appreciate you. Now don't say it if you don't mean it, but mean it from your heart. If you really appreciate him, say, I appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, are you here this morning? Brother Daniel Nunley, God bless you. Where are you at? If you'd come this morning, lead us to the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? It's good to be able to smile this morning a little bit, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Takes a whole lot less muscles to smile than it does frown anyway. So just don't wear yourself out by frowning. We appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? God bless our brother this morning.
Amen. I was thinking what Brother Donnie preached Wednesday night about remodeling your home. He was talking about the tulip, how that when the sun shines, the bloom will open up, and when it rains, it closes back. And I was thinking how that should be with our life. When the sun shines, we need to open our hearts. But when darkness comes and the enemy oppresses, then we need to shut it out. I'm thankful for God this morning, aren't you? Let's pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service, knowing, God, that this is the greatest time that we could ever live, Lord Jesus, at the fulfillment of your word, at the end time, Heavenly Father, knowing that the devil is going about as a roaring lion, devouring who he may. But I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're still on the throne. And God, that you say in your word, whatever we ask in faith believing, God, that you'll do it. Heavenly Father, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne this morning. God, you know each one of them in my hand this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move to heal, to save, to deliver, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, for Brother and Sister Cooper that lost their loved one, we pray that you'll fill that vacancy, Lord Jesus. God, we pray for this service today. May your Holy Ghost take complete charge. And God, we pray that you bless Brother Dying and know him, Lord Jesus. Help us, oh God, to receive the things that he brings forth. And Heavenly Father, we commit this service fully unto your hands. God, to those over the internet, those in our fellowship halls and nurseries, we pray that you bless them this morning. We commit everything unto your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting here with us today, I failed to call your name. If you're a visitor, we're certainly glad to have all of you here in the service. All of our folks that are streaming this service today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do you believe that with all your heart? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it.
with me. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord, thy God, is with thee. Be bold, be strong. Lord, thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord, thy God, is with me.
Run to him, tell him I'm ready.
Oh, get ready.
Sing just a little bit of this song this morning. I have a special or two that we'll give to you just in a little bit. But let's sing this song this morning. I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away. But I'm glad when he needs to, he'll just take me back to the potter's wheel and he'll work on me again and again and again. Aren't you glad he loves you enough to do that? Let's sing it this morning if you will.
Empty and broken, I came back. Vessel unworthy,
oh, yes.
So scarred by sin, but he did not despair. He started over again. I'm blessed today. He didn't throw the clay away.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. You can be seated this morning. Brother Brandon comes this time to give us a song. We'd love to hear our brother sing. And I know he's going to bless your heart this morning. Let's enjoy him as he sings for us.
To him, he will answer us. If we'll run to him, he will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, he will lift us up. Come and praise his name, all you saints of God, and sing for joy to God, our strength. Draw near to him, he is here with us. Give him your love, he's in love with us. He will heal our hearts, he will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, he will heal our land. So sing for joy to God, our strength. Yes, we call to Him, He will answer us. If we'll run to Him, He will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, He will lift us up. Come and praise His name, all you saints of God. And sing for joy to God our strength. Sing for joy to God our strength. Draw near to Him, He is here with us. Give Him your love, He's in love with us. He will heal our hearts, He will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, He will heal our
like to hear a little bit more of that this morning. You just sing enough of that to make us mad. Sing some more of that. We appreciate that song, don't we? We'll run to Him, He'll run to us. I promise you that. Sing it, buddy.
If we call to Him, He will answer us. If we'll run to Him, He will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, He will lift us up. Come and praise His name, all you saints of God. And sing. He will heal our hearts, He will cleanse our hands. If we rend our hearts, He will heal our land. So sing for joy to God our strength. Yes, sing for joy to God our strength.
If I was coming out or not, huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
It's okay for the milkman to be late or the garbage man, but not the preacher for sure. Let's turn today to the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Also Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's bow our heads together and ask God's blessings on the word today. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We are so thankful, Lord, as we have heard the song singing that you're with us. You're our mighty God, our conqueror. We thank you, Lord, for your great condescending love that you would come down to us in our low estate. We are thankful, Lord. We realize that greatness is truly expressed in humility. We know that it's hard for human beings to comprehend such a concept. But yet, you being the author of true humility and of divine life, you came to this earth, laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed, but it didn't stop you at all. You were, as we found out last night, unconscious to many of those things that were around you. So I pray that you'd help us today as your children, that we can begin to walk the same type of walk. Take your word to us today, and may you speak to us afresh. May our spirits be renewed. May in the spirit of our mind, may we be changed and transformed, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, friends. I want to speak to you today on sinking your Titanic.
Amen.
Sinking your Titanic. It took 3,000 men 2 years at a cost of $7.5 million to build her. She was 882 feet long, 175 feet tall, 92 feet wide. She was the largest passenger ship that had ever been built at this time. Quite a achievement for man, I'm sure, to be able to accomplish such a thing. They leave from Southampton, England, United Kingdom, on their maiden voyage to New York City. On her voyage was the richest people, some of the richest people, on the earth at that time. Some of the people were famous, were renowned, were businessmen, were all kinds of people. It had been given the title that she was unsinkable. They felt like that by the achievement that they had been able to come together and the latest technology at that time, was the people that they had hired to design her, to lay her out, to make her, that she was unsinkable. There had been 6 warnings on this day, on April the 14th, 1912. 6 warnings that had been received aboard her to let her know that there was ice in the North Atlantic. But her wireless radio operator ignored all 6 warnings because he was sending messages from the rich and the famous on board her back to let the people know how the voyage went. So all 6 messages went totally, totally as if though it was not even sent at all. On up in the day as it continues to progress and then into the night, she struck an iceberg. This particular iceberg was somewhat different than normal ones because only a small portion of it, of course, being out of the water. But this one had melted so much and refroze and melted and refroze that the moon was not shining that night. And this iceberg was not white. It was actually clear. The moon not shining, so by the visible eye, you would not have seen it. Because unlike the most of the icebergs that were around, the others, they were much larger. So they retained their ice color, which was white. But this one is what they call black iceberg, which is like winter roads here in Tennessee when you will hit black ice. So it takes the color of the asphalt. So this one, not being white, the moon not shining, them not taking heed and listening to the messages that had been coming forth to warn them, they progressed on and went right ahead. The iceberg struck her at 11:40 p.m. The instructions given to the men in the engine room and given to those who were at her helm, those who were controlling her thrust and her power, instead of going on to swerve around and miss this iceberg once they found they were so close, probably would have saved her. But instead, the instructions come, reverse engines. Of course, naturally, she's within 0.5 knots of her full speed. It's going to be very, very hard to cause this to be reversed. So only a small portion of the iceberg, the conscious mind being above water, a great more of it, the subconscious mind being below water. Amen. And as it comes by and it strikes, according to the reports, a damage in the hull was 220 feet to 245 feet long. So it strikes the hull where? Beneath the water. Now, this iceberg was not even, as far as the visible part, it was not even as tall as the first deck. Seemed very, very small and very insignificant. But the major damage was achieved by what was beneath the conscious level. What was down beneath the water. So here she comes and all these people are enjoying their drinks and doing all these things. All of a sudden, everything on this ship changes. Because now what was beneath the water, what was hidden, what had seemed irrelevant, unimportant, the messages that were being broadcast, be careful, ice in the area, watch this, listen to what you say, be careful, watch this, that, or the other, totally ignored them. Now all of a sudden, all the drinking, all the fine living, all the fine jeweled women, it didn't amount to anything. Now you've got people that are running and screaming. They're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. The supposed watertight compartments were so designed in this ship that if they hit another ship, if they hit an iceberg, if something happened on one part of the ship, they could close out this certain compartment and the ship would be able to remain. If four of these compartments had been submerged in water, the ship would have been able to survive. But instead of four, all five become flooded. Now the gash inside of the ship, it was not a monster-sized gash, something the size of this building. But as they've sent these different types of things down to survey her as she lays on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, they have now determined the gash made through her side was some 12 square feet, the size of a refrigerator. Over 2,000 people were on board. 1,503 of those people lost their lives. Now, when we look at us, what a horrible thing that was. It made the papers for weeks and still studied today. People look at it and try to understand, and now they think the rivets were wrong, and this was wrong, and that was wrong. Her undercarriage was weakened by this and that and the other. And we said, what a terrible, terrible catastrophe that was. And truly it was. But I want to tell you today that there have been millions and millions of more lives and more walks that have been destroyed because of people not understanding their first conscience and their subconscious. And that they pick up wounds and scars and things when they are children or when they are teenagers or whenever they enter into an engagement or a marriage and winds up in a divorce. And they bear within them these scars that damage their lives. It will, from that point on, damage future relationships. It will damage future views of other human beings. It will instill in them either fear or it will instill in them an inferiority, or it will instill in them so many complexes that are so deep, it's like layer upon top of layer on top of layer. One triggers another and another and another, and they live in this life and they have an existence, but they live so far beneath what God really intended for them to be. Simply because they did not understand themselves, they did not understand others, and even though they may have heard it, but yet their own thinking overrode those who were gifted to warn them about this impending danger. So instead of them saying, Lord, are you speaking to me? God, help me to see the way I am. Help me to see my needs. They just revert back into that little shell. Well, I've always believed it this way, and this is the way it is, and I guess I'll just go this way. If that's the way you want to go, it's entirely up to you. If you want to sink your Titanic, go ahead. I'd like to rename mine and let it float. Now, whenever you look at the parallel of how that psychologists, psychiatrists, and people who study such things and how that they link the conscience and the subconscious to an iceberg, and the equivalent to the percentage-wise of what they say is actually visible on most icebergs compared to that which is invisible is one-tenth or a tithing or 10% of the iceberg is visible, and 90% is invisible. So then a person could look from the outside and say you were on the ocean and you were out there in a large, gigantic ship. The size is really irrelevant if you're going to meet something of this size, when many of them will be 200, 300, 400,000 tons of ice that will be submerged into the water. Now, no matter how strong your boat is, no matter how you may be raised in a message home, you may be a pastor's child, a deacon's child, whatever more, but when you're meeting something that is such a force, it will take more than that to ever give you the ability to be able to overcome and deal with the things that life can give. Now, when you think of how many people are so confident in what they think they are, and yet really the amount of what we really work with is quite shocking. Whenever the majority of us only work from 1% of a conscious level, and the rest of our life from 95 to 99% of our life is totally controlled by that which is unconscious or in a subconscious level. Now you imagine years of our life has went into making this of what we are. And it is so automatic that much of what we do, the way we say, the way we react to certain situations, you and I are not even at all conscious or aware of the way we will even do. And this is why that people will look at us and say, why did you say that? Why did you react? You say, I never done that. I never had an attitude. And you are totally honest in what you're saying because you don't think you did. But actually your subconscious has so projected this out of you from the software that has been formed in this layer, in this level of you where you live from. Other people can see it, but you are not even aware of it at all. Because it is so far beneath your surface that your conscious level commits it to the subconscious, and the subconscious will act it out, and you're not even aware. Others around you can see it. They can hear the tone of your voice or see that certain look on your face, and they say, you've got an attitude. You've got a problem. I ain't got no attitude. Now, if that's from the subconscious, you can, in your conscious level, be totally convinced you do not have an attitude. Because it is in the subconscious level. And then you get into an argument with that person who says, you've got an attitude, and you say, I ain't got an attitude. And they say, you do have it. No, I don't have an attitude. Then what happens is the first conscience is conflicting with the subconscious.
Now here you are then, you're so scarred and you're bearing in your hull, if I can say it this way, this deep crevice which has now allowed you to be penetrated, you're forever changed, unless you will allow something greater than that to change you back in a positive way. Now can you imagine then how many of us are sitting here today, the mass basically of humanity that lives on the face of the earth, how many of us have been shaped by things that actually have happened to us, and it'd be shocking to you to know that most of what's gathered into your subconscious was accumulated by the age of 6 years old. So, and because we live out of this, this is your autopilot, your subconscious actually being your autopilot. So from there, your emotions, your reactions, because your subconscious does not have the ability to reason or to go on logic, but it goes upon what is fed into you on a repetitive manner called the law of repetition and the law of attraction. So you will deduct and you will begin to think of these situations and you will deal with them from the subconscious level before your conscious level ever able is even ready to respond. Your subconscious is already sending forth traits and emotional things from the subconscious level before your conscious level has even made up its mind which way you're going to react. Your subconscious is already decided and it's already got you going in a certain direction. This is scary. But let me blow you a trumpet today and sound you a message. There's a way out of this. Now, what's this as these doctors and people who study this say? Only a small percentage of the whole iceberg is visible above the surface. And this way, the iceberg is like the mind. The conscious mind is what we notice above the surface, while the unconscious mind, the largest and most powerful part, remains unseen below the surface. The unconscious mind holds all awareness that is not presently in the conscious mind. All memories, feelings, and thoughts that are out of conscious awareness are by definition unconscious. So basically, it is your unconscious mind that is running your life. So from the realm of the subconscious is where all of these actions, as I said last night, your breathing, which is not controlled by you unless you would voluntarily take your breathing under control. Many of the things which are attributed to our subconscious, now the outside, the first conscious will take them, it will learn this behavioral trait, and then it will send it, and then your subconscious analyzes this information and sends this information to the cells in your body. If an extreme emotion or something comes with that, it will attach this emotion with that, and then once this process is repeated again, then your subconscious will search through its memory. It will do a search and a scan inside of you, and if there's already this which is built up, it will repeat itself over and over again, and it does it on a total unconscious level to you. That's why you'll act the same way when a situation will come up over and over again unless you make up your mind, I need to change this. Amen. My. Now, watch this. So the unconscious mind then, now watch how it's able to do this. Now, a new perspective of why we are the way we are has been introduced by some cutting-edge molecular biologists. Foremost among them is a former professor of medicine at Stanford University, Dr. Bruce Lipton. Now, listen to this. He says that the new science of epigenetics has shown that our genes are, in fact, controlled and manipulated by how our minds perceive and interpret our environment. It was formerly believed by science that it is our genes themselves which dictate our traits, that our genes form who and how we are. The new findings are great news because it means we can change many things about the way we are. Oh, praise the Lord. We can change many things about the way we are, including our health, by changing how we interpret events and situations which happen to us. For example, Dr. Lipton shows that if we interpret things in a positive way, we start living healthier and better quality lives regardless of the genetic makeup we started with. So if your grandpa had a heart attack, your daddy had a heart attack, your uncle, your third cousin, your brother's, sister's, uncle's, wife's, neighbor's, brother-in-law's, fourth wife's, cousins, you know, and then you follow that, well, I'm going to die of a heart attack too. But you realize, you say, you know what? Who said? Who said I've got to die of a heart attack? Who said I've got to have this and that? But you think that by the power of the mind, now look, friend, by the power of the mind, that you would be able to look at yourself and say, so what? You know, my family, drinking runs in the family, and smoking may run there, and a lot of them have got gambling habits or whatever. So I've got to accept the same thing? Absolutely not. You'll agree with that. How come you ain't agreeing with this other part? You will. You'll come around. I'll keep hammering it till you see it. Now, what's this? So a new attitude, positive or negative. Now, listen what happens to you. Sends new messages to the cells in your body. They can actually reprogram their health and their behavior. So a new attitude that comes from the right kind of thoughts actually sends new messages to the cells in your body and can actually reprogram their health. Reprogram the health of your cells. So I wonder what would happen to a mortal then if they kept thinking rapturing grace. Rapturing faith, rapturing power, rapturing love, rapture. And one day all of a sudden it would reprogram their cells and they would go from mortal cells to immortal. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, thank God. It can even change cellular structure. Turning diseased cells into healthy cells. Now, if it can do that to my cells, while the rest of the world is totally insane and going totally out of their mind, but God wants a people who's in their right mind. Not only in the right mind, but living the right kind of life by the Word. This new science does away with the old scientific tradition based on Newtonian physics that the body is just a mechanical device and actually acknowledges that the mind and spirit also play a role in who we are. Dr. Lipton explains that there are two separate minds that create what he calls the body's controlling voice. This is a conscience mind that you think freely and create new ideas out of the box. Now listen, I'm describing you. Then there is the subconscious mind, which is basically a supercomputer loaded with a database of programmed behaviors. Most of them which we acquired before we reached the age of 6. I wonder how many of us have grown up since 6. Really. You'd probably be surprised if you knew how much of yourself is still retained from your early, early childhood. Anybody want to pass the fire besides me? The subconscious mind. Now watch how God did this. The subconscious mind cannot move outside its fixed programs. It automatically reacts to situations with its previously stored behavior responses. Now notice what it does. These things are fed into you beneath the surface now. And then you look at, oh, that don't affect me. I'm a Titanic. I'm a message believer. I'm unshakable. And then a certain situation will come up and your subconscious will react the same way it did when you was a 6-year-old boy at school. Of course, now you're a 6-year-old boy that talks about thunders and great deep things and you think you're beyond that. But your subconscious knows he's still reacting on these behaviors that are 45 years old or 55 or 75. Learned behavior, and it's just like a software in your program. Now you can have the best computer in the world, but if you have no software to run it, it's of no value. You can have wonderful software, but you got to have the hardware in order to make it all work together. Now just imagine your mind as being the software and the hardware put together. With it, you can do incredible things, but they've got to be compatible. You must be compatible or it will never ever work. Now think of much that's been programmed in us than our subconscious. It's a wonderful thing that when God made a man. And then he attributed so much of this that would be the awareness level and the ability that would have logic and reason and understanding. And then much of it God subdivided and put it into the unconscious level, subconscious, and there it would take care of so many more things about your everyday routine. It's there to protect you. It's there. It does not logic. It does not reason. It doesn't have the ability to sort like the first conscious does. It just goes into routine patterns of things that's done over and over and over again, even after you get saved. My. The subconscious mind cannot move outside its fixed program. It automatically reacts to situations with its previously stored behavior responses. And it works without the knowledge or control of the conscious mind. There's a little place going up Powder Branch Road. The man out there, it's before you get to Quail Hollow, those of you that are familiar with it, the man out there apparently puts out corn sometimes. There's deer that you see in there, there's turkey, there's different animals that you see. One of the first times when I saw that several years ago, I thought it was just, just deer standing there, so I looked and I saw it. The next time I came down, I looked. The next time I came up, I looked. When I came to church this morning, I looked. Every time I come and go, I look at that spot. Now I do it subconsciously. I don't even think about it. Now the first few times I thought about it. But now it's as automatic as me driving. Now even though if I think about it at the same time, both of my levels will connect. And consciously and subconsciously I will do it. But I really don't even need my conscience level right now to even do that because it's so buried within me. You understand? Now you realize in much of the way we deal, our temperament, much of the way we are, the way we relate to one another. Oh, but Brother Donnie, what about God? And the way we relate to God also will come from the subconscious. Think of this. It works without the knowledge or control of the conscious mind. This is why we are generally unaware of our behavior. In fact, most of the time we're not even aware that we are acting unconsciously. Good Lord, I'm going to go home and lock myself up in a room. You mean much of what I do, I'm not even aware of it? Much of what you do, the way you respond, the way you're not even aware, Brother Larry, you're not even consciously aware of what's going on. Studies from as far back as the 70s show that our brains begin to prepare for action just over a third of a second before we think consciously to decide to act. In other words, even when we think we are conscious, it is our unconscious mind which is actually making our decisions for us. So then when a situation will come up, you know what the subconscious does? It reacts in this software which has been programmed into you, depending upon if the subconscious considers this a damaging thing, if it considers this, somebody's trying to be a friend to you, and yet the subconscious will relate. It's really strange. Do you understand that even with people, they found out in these studies that people, someone who offended you or done something to you as a child, if it was a man with gray hair and blue eyes, that when you see a man with gray hair and blue eyes, your subconscious will begin to react and you will get nervous around that type of an individual, though they have done nothing to you, because the subconscious registered that in you and now it moves into this fight or flight mode. I don't know if y'all are scared, if y'all are happy or what. I mean, I'm having a hard time reading y'all this morning. Now notice, it seems that the unconscious mind is running us on its automatic pilot mode 95% of the time. Now let me ask you, friends, if this is true, if we're being run on autopilot 95% of the time, don't you think we ought to find out what this autopilot is doing to us. Don't you think we ought to find out and listen and see, God, you know, my behaviors and the way I'm reacting, is this autopilot, is it pleasing to you? Or is it just something that I've accepted since I was a 5-year-old boy or whatever more? Is it something that's really my attitude, my response, my reaction? Is it with Christ in my life? Or is it something that I learned 40 years before my conversion? Now watch this. Neuroscientists have shown that the conscious mind provides 5% or less of our cognitive conscious activity during the day. 5%, they say, is for the more aware people. Many people operate at just 1% consciousness. I'm not sure what people like me and you all operate at, but I guess this is the upper echelon people, smart people maybe. Dr. Lipton also says the unconscious mind operates at 40 million bits of data per second. 40 million bits of data per second. You're talking about a supercomputer. Now look at the conscience part. Whereas the conscience mind processes at only 40 bits per second. So 40 million versus 40. So the subconscious and the outside going doo-doo. Do, 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 do. Now I see what y'all listen to me preaching at conscience level. Aren't you glad that he separated it? Think, if it was based upon our reaction many times to flight or fight, and it was based upon the ability of the first conscience at 40 bits of information per second, you'd be in danger so many times. So God sped up the subconscious to where it would actually protect you and something about. And the outside said, what in the world was that? Wow. And the subconscious said, I just saved your life. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. So the unconscious mind is much more powerful than the conscious mind. Listen to this. And it is the unconscious mind which shapes how we live our life. Scientists show that most of our decisions, actions, emotions, and behavior depend on the 95% of the brain activity that is beyond our conscious awareness. Which means that 95 to 99% of our life comes from the programming of our subconscious mind. Some of you businessmen that kind of sneak around and play little sneaky deals right now as adults, no doubt you learned that when you was a boy. Oh yeah, you're converted, sure, you're saved, you believe the message, but you're still living this same kind of life from the subconscious realm. You see, this is why folks with addictions, this is why folks with habits and all kinds of things in their life, they want deliverance from out here. And they really try to reach out. But the subconscious is so programmed to whatever it is that they're into. Oh, I'm delivered. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm free. But the man down here says, you're not. I still need that. You can't let go. And they may go for months and months and maybe even years. But eventually this subconscious will bring them right back around until the subconscious is changed. Whew. So our life reflects our unconscious programming. This is because the job of the subconscious is to create reality out of its program. So if you have negative programming in your unconscious, Dr. Lipton says 95% of the time, you will recreate those negative experiences in your life. And as those of us who have ever taken time to check out our unconscious thoughts know, most of the programs of our unconscious minds are based in negativity. For example, fear of what other people are thinking about us. Fear of not being loved and respected. Ah, Well, I'm getting down there so close now, y'all even afraid to move. Y'all even batting an eye, aren't you? You're just kind of... Now you imagine, friend, all of these things about us, the things that make us clash with other people, the things that makes a man clash with his wife whenever in reality he would die for that woman. But yet this subconscious thing, his subconscious thing, being different than hers, and it'll cause them to clash, and they'll have arguments or disagreements or whatever more. Same with their children, same with folks you go to church with. But our problem is we think this message, folks, we're superhumans. No, you're not. You're just like any other human. Now to get out of this endless cycle of old programs and start to be more in the conscious mind. Because of the power of the unconscious mind. Listen to this. 1,000,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind. And the amount of time it is running, 95 to 99%, Lipton says it takes a lot more than positive thinking to get it out of it. Because as soon as you forget to be conscious, the unconscious is back in charge again. So he said, by God's help, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be different. I'm tired of being this old negative, sarcastic. I'm tired of this and that and the other. And you'll think, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. But remember, your subconscious mind is 1,000,000 times more powerful than your conscious one. You'll think it from Monday and Tuesday, and by Wednesday you're back in your old rut again. And you say, yeah, I see it don't work. You've spent all these years putting all that mess in there, and you expect by Wednesday you're going to be new? Some of y'all have been doing this repetitive behavior for 60 years. At least give it to next weekend. Once, Brother Bam said, I found this, that God will keep every word. And then he says it has to be if you just get your heart set straight in Calvary yonder without a shadow of a doubt. As I've said this afternoon, get your subconscious and this conscience and God's word all in connection and watch what takes place. And can you imagine he's lining up the three? He's lining up God's word, your conscience, and your subconscious in order to bring to pass the fullness of God's promise. So what if a person just lines up, I believe every word. I take every word. Glory to God. Jesus is my Savior. I believe it all. That's the conscience. And you've still got 40 or 50 years, whatever it is, down the subconscious. You feed it down to that man and he says, you do not believe that. You're afraid to try that. You're scared. I know you are, because I'm scared. And I'm the subconscious, and if I'm scared, you're scared. And if the subconscious is afraid, the subconscious will pulsate to the cells in your body with the emotions of fear and actually release the chemicals in your body, and it will make your flesh react to fear. That's why the hair stands up on the back of your neck when you get scared of something. Praise the Lord. Any of y'all ever have a dream and wake up out of the dream scared? Really? How's that happen? I had a dream a while back. And Harry was in his truck. I hadn't even told Harry this, but Harry was in his truck. And it was nighttime. And I seen him there and he didn't see me. So I was sneaking up by the driver's door and I was going to scare him. So I sneaked up by the driver's door and come to find out, Harry had seen me. And he rolled down his window. And by the time I got up to his window in the dream and I was fixing to scare him, he went. And you know what I did? I made the same noise. Woke up my little beautiful daughter and likes to scare her to death. She was shaking me, what's wrong? But you see, in my subconscious where I had that dream, and it was so real that it permeated over into the other conscience, amen, but yet it was so real. Now you imagine then these things, these behaviors, and these things that we've got is so deeply embedded in us. If we can get our first conscience said, the Lord is my healer, and the subconscious said, the Lord is my healer, and the word said, the Lord is my healer, look out, devil. It's like coming from the subconscious to the first conscious. It's real then, brother. Oh my, I'll tell you what, when I woke up out of that dream, I had cold chills all over my body. You know why? Because my two consciences merged together. Can you imagine what we in our lives can accomplish if God can get us in our first conscience and our subconscious to merge in the promise of the Word? Then, my friend, your words will become His. Then your thoughts will become His thoughts. Notice this again. He says, you know, you got a subconscious, don't you? We're conscious of that. That's the fellow, the subconscious, is causing you all the trouble tonight. So you mean to tell me most of my life, I've been looking at this guy who's been all my problems. And a lot of it has been the bottom part of that iceberg. It's been hid from me. It reflects itself through this truly. But it's been the bottom part of that iceberg that's been hid there, gigantic in size. And it, my life brushes past it and it scars me and I carry it through the journey of life aboard my ship. Imagine him saying such a statement. Oh, that's the fellow, that subconscious is calling you all the trouble tonight. It don't agree with this out here. It's scared. And backs up. But when it becomes in harmony with this one, and this one becomes in harmony with God's Word, you're going then. Oh my. But can you imagine the outside say, yes, I believe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why people get in the anointing. They'll get in a service and their outside level, glory, I'm delivered. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm delivered. I feel so much better. They'll walk right outside them doors, get out from under the anointing of my gift or some other preacher's gift, and then they hit reality. And then what they've been programmed into for months or years or whatever, it'll automatically start focusing again. By the time they get down to Bojangles going through the drive-thru, they've already lost their victory. Why? Because the subconscious said, now you know that didn't happen. You know you didn't feel one thing. You know you're not one bit better off, and they'll go right back to where they were. Why? Because the man in the engine room has associated this emotion and failure and fear. And there they are right back in the same situation again. You know, to me, friends, if we had a church here where there was no deliverance, I think you might be excused to coming here with sin in your life. If we had ministry that had no deliverance, if we had a church where there's no truth preached, if we had ministry that wasn't concerned about you, but when we've got a place where God sends His Word and God has deliverance and men of God who can pray for you, I think we're going to be without excuse. If we don't take advantage of everything that God has given to us, simply because we're not willing to apply it to our lives. Because many of us are so stubborn and so hard-headed and so set in our ways, we're not going to move. No, I'll tell you, you're going to move all right, and you're going to wind up in the bottom of your Atlantic. Notice this again. He said, there's many people that really think they believe, but way down in the subconscious, is a little something there that says no. Now notice it don't debate. It don't have this big long speech. All it says is one word. No. No. I felt it all over me. Oh glory. I got it. I got it. But he says no. And you can feel that. Remember, this is what he would feel bouncing back in discernment. Again, he says, if I'd ask perhaps 99 out of every 100 in here tonight, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, they believe it. Well, then Jesus said, if you believe it, you shall receive it. But that's just conscious believing it. Now you got a subconscious that's got to act too. Now that's the part that if you've tried before and failed, it stores the failure. So you tried this and this and this and it didn't work, and your subconscious stores the facts, it stores the memory, it stores the embarrassment, it stores all of that. Then when you hear the word, confess your healing, believe the word of God, the outside says, amen, I'm going to do it. Runs down into the subconscious and the subconscious sends it down through there and said, oh, This happened year before last, in January. About the same time of the year, actually. When you heard somebody preach that sermon, and you done it, and you went and testified, I'm healed, I'm delivered, praise God. And you remember the outcome of that, don't you? I am not allowing you to do this again. I'm sent here to protect you. So the subconscious will send forth this little simple message. No. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch this. My, it's simple, isn't it? But it's so powerful. That's just conscience believing. So that's the outside part that believes that. Now he said, like a man crossing the sea, when you go into the ship, the man who runs the ship or guides it, sets up there in a pilot house, the man that really runs the ship, goes down into the bowels of the ship, down into the hull of it, he's the engineer. No matter how much this guy says up here, this is the guy that does the work. That's your subconscious. This is your first conscience. Well, now if this fellow here receives an order from the mate, whoever it is, what to do, he passes it on down, he guides the ship. But this man has to do with the running of it. No matter how much he does the guiding, it won't do a bit of good until you get some steam from down here or some pressure pulling it. So you got the man up here on top. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's got the license plate. He's got all the message paraphernalia. Man, he's an eagle belt buckle guy. He's loaded to the gills. He looks like a message guy. But the guy down in the engine room is scared. Guy down in the engine room, he's afraid. He can't take all of that. This guy up here, glory to God, don't you tell me. Hallelujah. I believe this word. I'll die for it. The subconscious man said, no, you won't, because I won't let you. Because when it comes right down to it, I'll flood you with emotions. I'll flood you with fear. And when you get on that website and you read that, I'll flood your emotions and your imagination. You'll be so overcome with fear, you'll begin to wonder if this message is even the truth or not. Of course, if you got a seal down inside your soul, it don't make no difference whose website is. It don't make no difference what preacher it is. It don't make no difference what anybody else says. You have got an anchor. Amen. Glory, you have got an anchor. Watch this. I've seen people come to the platform and I'd say, do you believe? Oh, I've got all the faith, Brother Branham. Now, I don't mean to be belittling them, and I respect that. But they're supposed to be up here, and they're way down here. But do you know what it is? It's hope instead of faith. Faith does the job right now. Now, hope hopes for it, but faith is the product. Faith really does it. We have lots of hope, but not much faith. So we want to change from hope today to positive faith. How many wants to do that? Will you take the prescription? Here it comes. It's complex. It's heavy. There's only one way we can get to positive faith. That's by positive thinking of positive things. That's too simple for us. There's not enough mystery. There's not enough depth. It's not confusing enough. You know, people want something that just really, when they leave the service, say, wow, man, wasn't that something? What did he say? I don't know, but wow, man, I never heard. Wow, did you understand it? No, that's what made it so wonderful. I couldn't understand nothing. And what good does that do you? How are you going to be able to change them, Brother Branham, from hope to positive faith? By thinking on positive things and saying positive things. Amen. Now let's switch back over to the medical point of view. Under your conscience and subconscious mind together, the conscience and the subconscious mind can make a great team if used together. Now watch how they parallel what Brother Branham taught back in 1951, 52, 53, 54. The first can handle some tasks, then assigns them to the second, while the second sends feedback and messages about the task in the form of emotions to the first. So the first conscience receives the information, sends it to the subconscious. The subconscious then generates an emotion or generates something to you and sends it back to the first conscience, which is your response. It is now a stored behavior once it's repeated over and over again. Now, this is not considered a fleeting thought. It's not considered something, well, I'll get over. It's considered something that will be your normal behavior from this point on. Unless it's interrupted. I'm glad my daddy's a divine interrupter. Amen. So what exactly does the subconscious mind do? Your subconscious mind is responsible for many of the emotions that you experience. The feelings of anxiety that you might experience before a presentation and the inferiority feelings that you might feel less worthy than others, in addition to other emotions, stem from the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also responsible for involuntary actions like reflex actions, fight or flight response, and even the movement of your hand muscles while writing. That's why your handwriting can reveal some of your personality traits and hidden emotions.
Lord, have mercy. I'd like to know what they'd say about mine if they could read it.
Do you understand people who study this? And you write. They can tell you're a type A, you're a type B, you're this, that, the other. You got this buried, you got this and that and the other. Just by handwriting. Why? Because your subconscious controls all of this. Unlike your conscious mind. Now watch this. Your personality, your traits, your hidden emotions, your subconscious mind is awake 24/7. Unlike your conscious mind, that's why dreams may reflect suppressed emotions. So apparently I was wounded real deep and I was scared bad as a child and I wanted to scare Harry back, I guess. While sleeping, the conscious mind becomes dormant. While the subconscious mind remains active, can you imagine your subconscious ain't never been asleep ever since you've been born? Don't never get tired, works 24 hours a day, listens, hears, all that sort of thing. The subconscious mind doesn't understand logic. Trying to get through to your subconscious mind using logic may not work. For example, when you experience an emotion like anxiety before giving a speech, you won't be able to logically convince yourself that there's no need to be afraid.
Wow. Now, after all these years of preaching, I just realize why I try to tell myself, don't get nervous, Donnie. But something inside me says, are you nuts? You're fixing to preach. So I walk back and forth in that office and I pray and I pace like a mad dog. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Please help me. Calm down, Donnie. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. But my subconscious knows what I'm fixing to do.
You ever been there? You ever been in a situation and you try? Be calm. Be calm. Calm down. Everything's okay. But you see, it's a conflicting message because the subconscious has stored this.
Maybe he remembered it, that spelling bee at Happy Valley Elementary. And you didn't want to be up there no way, but you could spell pretty good. And all of a sudden you got up there and it was the big contest and you went totally blank. It embarrassed you, humiliated you. You walked off there as a little old fat cheek boy. People thought nothing wrong with him. The truth of it is, unless you got delivered from that, it's still in you this very morning. Lord Jesus, help us, God.
Can you imagine? It stores all of that. Oh, my. You won't be able to logically convince yourself there's no need to be afraid. You'll find your heart beating. Your fight-to-flight response will become triggered without being able to stop this from happening. When dealing with the emotions that the subconscious mind generates, the best way to do, now listen to this, is dig deeply. Until you find the root cause of the problem instead of just focusing on apparent factors. Can't you see why the discernment in this day was such a powerful thing? Can you imagine maybe a woman one time gets to walk before a prophet of God and he says, I see you running. You're coming home from school. You got a yellow checkered dress on. There's a dog after you. You run up on the porch. You fall through the door. Scared you. You've been afraid all of your life. Now what did he do? He wasn't her first conscience.
But he went down into the subconscious and pulled that out. Why? That was associated with much of her fears, much of her trauma, much of the things she was dealing with in her life. Even though a Christian. Now you imagine yourself say, I see you read your Bible every day. You pray so many times. You give so much in the offering and you tithe. And you also give missionary reports and you do this. Instead, he went to her trouble. Oh, I imagine that woman was so happy she didn't know what to do. It didn't make no difference if he complimented how long her hair was. Sister, you've got a nice dress on. It's very decent. You're godly. But instead, he went to the trouble spot. That must have been something that caused her so many things in her life. Not her soul was bad. Not her spirit was corrupt. But in her subconscious laid a scar that had been obtained when she was a little girl. Amen. You imagine a man walks up before the prophet and he says, you're poor. You've had an accident. Carbon monoxide poisoning. A mechanic is working on a car and you got poison, the carbon monoxide poisoning, and you're afraid to go back to work. And you've lost everything you've got. You're poor. But go, my brother. You're healed. You mean to tell me God can heal a subconscious? Lady walks up. I see, sister, you're bothered with constipation. Constipation, really trouble to bother you. Oh, I see what it is. It's a phobia of wintertime. You're scared of winter. You imagine the laxatives and the diets and fiber and this and that and the other that that woman tried to take. It wasn't that. It was fear. Where'd that fear lay? In her subconscious. Oh, children, don't you see what God wants to bring to His people? He wants to heal us of our phobias and our fears. If you, for example, suffer from feelings of inferiority, then never try to convince yourself by logic that you shouldn't be feeling inferior. But instead, examine your childhood. Oh my goodness. Lord have mercy. Not go back, well, I'm 60. Well, go back when you're 40. Go way farther back than that. Brother Tony, you mean to tell me that what we are? Yes, my friends, much of what we are today is much what we can be. Can't you see why Satan wants to get little children sexually molested? Can't you see why he wants them to get verbally abused in a home? Can't you see why he wants so much abuse upon children? In this study, I found a scan of two brains of 2 7-year-old boys. Through a CT scans, to an MRI scan, through the different scans, and we're able to measure the brain size of these boys. One that had a normal sized brain was loved by his mother and father. Kind things were said to him. He was told he was appreciated, corrected when he was wrong, disciplined, but then dealt with praises when he did well. Another one was a boy. He was not in a third world country, but in raised in similar circumstances. But when they did the scan on this other boy, they noticed that his brain was abnormally small. And they began to look at the emotional side of his brain and see and find out the background that this boy was given away by his mother. He was abused in one home after another. And they found that this boy had certain aspects of his mind, his brain, that he would never be able to love, trust, and be able to socialize properly as this other child because his brain had been so prohibited by the treatment of these adults in his life. Let me tell you something, friends. Many of us sit here today as miracles from God. Many of you have been raised in such environment, and many of you, that was based upon you. You couldn't have trusted. You couldn't have loved properly. You could not have functioned properly if God had not done a miracle in your life. Oh my, will we let our sink? Will we let our ship sink to the bottom of the ocean of humanity? Or will we cry out today for the mercy of God to go deep down within us and help us to heal?
in finding this, they say now they're figuring out by this how some people seemingly cannot love the way others can. Because this portion of their brain, this portion of their brain was so hampered and gross. You think Satan, it is cruelty to let a child be raised in a home so cold. So that child will grow up cold and treat its children cold and its children cold and on and on and on. Lord Jesus, we humans, I found this amazing. We humans know more than we can understand. Isn't that strange? We know more than we can understand because the subconscious has the ability to retain more than what the conscious level can comprehend. The subconscious mind stores everything you come across. Your subconscious mind also stores your beliefs. In order to change such beliefs, you need to understand how the subconscious mind works and how it can be programmed. The conscious mind is used to take input through all five human senses and interprets this input. It then sends these interpretations to the subconscious mind for processing. The subconscious mind then manages these inputs by controlling what they do to the body or by what action the person takes. Your intuition or psychic powers arise from your subconscious mind, which is psych, which means mind. What is amazing about the subconscious mind is the fact that it is always working. It never stops functioning. This is why you have dreams at night. The subconscious has processed all the information and is ready to deliver the result to you, either through your dreams or by obtaining what you thought about or wanted. Now you imagine that here it comes, these thoughts, it runs through to the subconscious, and the subconscious processes that. Watch, Brother Branham said, now if he sends an order down, speaking about the men in the ship, two knots to the left, the man turns two knots to the right, won't do no good. Which way he turns here? You're going around and around in the harbor. Well, now that's the conscious and the subconscious. This fellow here, he believes all right, but this one won't cooperate with him. Now because the subconscious cannot go by logic, you may sit here in a service today and your first conscience be totally changed on a certain view that you had about something. It might be changed in a matter of seconds or minutes. But the subconscious won't. It can't reason. It don't have logic. So your first conscience just says, oh, okay. Well, that meant, well, I hadn't seen it like that before. And you walk out totally changed in your first conscience. So now you're viewing this certain point from this way up here. But this one down here has had years of training to view it in another direction. So then you go to acting on it from here, and this one down here says, hey, that ain't what I've got in my program. You're wrong. There's something wrong right here. This ain't right. This is not exactly right. So what will it do? It will send your emotions. It will send to your cells the information. Even though up here you're trying to do it, this down here is the one who runs the boat. Bottom of the quote. You say, yes, I believe. The next night, right back in the prayer line again. See, it goes to show that there's a little fear down here. You say, yes, I believe it. But really, is it for me? Now, that's the subconscious. Where did he get this information? Where did the subconscious get this information? Is it for me? He cannot reason. He does not have the ability to process by logic. He processed from the information that you feed it. So if you said and you're reading the Bible, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. By his stripes you are healed. So on and so on and so on. But then if a question comes in your mind, but didn't you apply that whenever you had the flu and it didn't work? Oh, whenever you had this certain thing in your body, didn't you get Brother Donnie and the men of God to pray for and they laid hands on you just like the Bible said and they laid hands on you, it didn't work? Then the subconscious takes that in there and it processes that with an emotion. So the next time you try it, the subconscious feeds this back to you with an emotion. That emotion many times will be fear. My goodness. Notice again he says, if the subconscious and this conscience will agree perfect together, then when an order comes, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Right here. He's the Lord that healed me. And the subconscious said, he's the Lord that healed me. The ship goes out to sea. You see, there you are. It's all got to be in agreement. God, First conscience, subconscious. Then there's not a shadow of doubt. No matter if the next day you're twice as sick as you was when you come to church that night, you're healed anyhow. Why? Because God and the first conscience and the subconscious are all lined up. But if you say, oh yes, I believe it. Praise the Lord, I believe it. And tomorrow you're worse. The subconscious, they say that. I told you. Now, in here, you're up here, every person in here this afternoon. I want you to believe in divine healing, every one of you. You say, sure, Brother Branham, I believe in divine healing. Now, maybe you mean that with all the intelligence you know how to speak and you believe it. That's in your head. But remember, there's a subconscious down there that's got to say the same thing. And if it doesn't, you'll never get nowhere. Isn't it amazing, friends, that many folks around this message, they're back where they were 30 years ago. Some of them that just come to the introduction of the message and they've been around the message for 30, 40, 25 years, whatever it is. And now many of them are back to where they were, not even believing that this is even sent from God. They think, what in the world is wrong? They never got synced up, all three of them. They never got synced up with God. But there's something missing somewhere. There has to be. If it's settled inside of your soul, it anchors from the Word, anchors to the first conscience and the subconscious, nothing's going to stop you. Let me find a place to close. Think of the subconscious mind as a storage room of everything that is currently not in your conscious mind. The subconscious mind stores all of your previous life experiences, your beliefs, your memories, your skills, all situations you've been through and all images you've ever seen. Dear Lord. I said, dear Lord. There's enough evidence in my subconscious to condemn me to hell. Don't sit there and look at me like a saint. You're more guilty than I am, some of you. You've got enough images in your mind, enough thoughts in your mind, enough words in there, but what is it that helps? What is it that helped bring that under control? You got a new birth in the soul. The best way to understand the subconscious is to look at the example of the person who wants to learn how to drive a car. At the beginning, he wouldn't be able to hold a conversation with anyone while driving, as he would be focusing on the different moves involved. That's because he's still using his conscious mind to drive. So he gets out on an old back road down in Louisiana or Mississippi or Kentucky or somewhere, or a parking lot, and he's got a hold of the steering wheel. Now you're doing good, honey. You're good. Now I want you to parallel park. What? Well, the state trooper's going to have you to parallel. Daddy, I can't parallel, parallel, whatever was you said. I can't do it, Daddy. You tried to advance him too far, too quick. So he gets out in that old country road. And one of the first things, isn't it amazing? One of the first things that'll happen is he'll take one hand off the steering wheel when he's getting more confident. Why? Because that's the way he's seen you drive since he was a little bitty tyke. He watches daddy. You know how daddy would take his hand, however he'd do it on that one hand. To him, that's a sign of confidence. That's a sign of maturity. Now you know what's happened, don't you? This one hand has now been assigned to the subconscious. So he can drive even more precise now with this one hand than he was with the two. Because when he drives with the two, every little jerk, you got whiplash by the time you get back to the house. Cause he's guarding. Oh, oh, am I doing okay, daddy? I mean, your eyes, you can move about like this. You know, you just, look over here, son. Ain't no way. It's a cell phone. It's for you. It ain't for no cell phone. But then with experience, more and more and more is assigned to the subconscious. And you set up and drive, whether you're left or right-handed. You answer a phone, you change the stereo, you change the CD, you do all these things. Many of us don't pay enough attention. But you get more relaxed. And that's only just a little something that you know. What about all your fears? All your emotions? All your anxieties? Some of you sisters, why you never trust a man. Because boys at school harassed you. Or someone sexually abused you. You don't even trust your husband. To this day,
Don't trust me. Don't trust no preacher. Because he's a man. Now, if he's a woman preacher, you'd be okay with that. Why? Because it's buried so deep within you, and some of you don't even know it. Some of you have been let down by preachers and betrayed by preachers. So you build up this high wall of resistance. I'll never trust another. You don't say it here. But you fed it by your thoughts into your subconscious. So when you left that church 22 years ago or whatever it was, that preacher so let you down and so betrayed you, day in and day out, you fed to your subconscious, I'll never trust another preacher. They're all out for money. They're out for women. You can't trust none of them. So the subconscious has got this defense built. So you go to church because Brother Bam said you should go to church. But in your subconscious, you don't have respect, trust, or honor. Why? Because the real you won't let you. Praise the Lord. Watch this. Brother Bam says, if you notice, the subconscious is where you live. That's where you yourself live. That's the reason it's hard for people to have faith. Up here they say, oh yes, I got faith. But down in here something says, but it's not for you. Let's stand. Oh my. Lord Jesus. May God help us, friends. It would probably be alarming us, I'm sure. But really, don't we really want to know who's got us on autopilot? Don't we really want to look inside of ourselves and see, why am I the way I am? And let me take my title then and close in the form of a question. Will this iceberg sink your life? Or will you take heed to the messages that have been coming to you, to the wireless receiver? And will you say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking to me. I don't understand it all. I can't put it all together. I got a text from Brother Homer Longo the other day. He said, man, I sure don't understand all you're saying, but boy, sure is some good stuff. I was texting back and said, I don't understand it either. Boy, a little bit I do understand sure is good. I sure don't say I can understand it all, but I'm understanding enough to see there's more there than what we've ever realized. Isn't there? The reactions when we judge people. Look at Brother Branham himself. Being rejected, cast away, wanted to be loved, wanted to be accepted. In his subconscious, this was stored. You're either one way or the other today. You might as well say amen. You either want to be accepted and you're afraid of rejection, so therefore you won't reach out to anybody because your fear of rejection is so great. So you just live your life all to your own. Just stay away from everybody. You ain't got no friends. You ain't touching nobody because your fear in your subconscious. And if we could bury deep enough, we might find it when you was on the playground as a school kid. We might find you here or there or there. And find that it's buried in you and you're still reacting by this software that's embedded in your subconscious. And here you're going to spend eternity with some of these people. And you let that control you not to even speak to them or have lasting friendships. Let me tell you something, friends. If you don't know it already, we don't just need a body change for the rapture. We need some changes down on the inside too. If God just give me a new body, just totally transformed me this morning, made me 18 years old, I still wouldn't be fit for them streets of gold. I got to be changed on the inside. Donnie, the subconscious, I've got to be changed. Not just a young body. I don't need just a young body. I need to be changed. Changed. Let's bow our heads together if you would. I wonder, as we think over these things, your fears, your complexes are the things that motivate you. Involuntary reactions, emotions, trust, and this and that and the other. Some of you that were raised by cold parents, an uncaring mother, uncaring father. Abusive. Many of you were not sexually abused, but you were verbally abused. They just never had nothing kind to say to you. All the time criticizing you and saying all sorts of things. Especially if you were the firstborn. My daddy, several years before he passed away, he apologized to him. He said, "Donnie, you was the first one." And he said, "I was harder on you than all the rest of them." And he said, "I'm sorry." But you know what? As we look at these things in our life, would I have preferred to be raised in a little different way? I would. But because I've been raised the way that I have, it's also gave me an insight and a feeling for people. A feeling when I see them in their needs and their deep distresses. And they know they love God with all their hearts. And yet they cannot understand for the life of them why they struggle with such things. And naturally Satan tries to tell them it's because they're not seed, because they're not bride, because they don't have that deposit, when in all reality, it's nothing no more than your subconscious. Your beliefs, your emotions, your attachments formed and laying right inside of there. Now, am I telling you today it'll be easy for us to be changed? I'm not. Many of us have got years of this learned behavior. It's the way we've reacted to circumstances when we were children. Maybe your first job, a real strong boss that called you all kinds of names, ridiculed you, whatever more. A strong mother, an uncaring father, whatever it was. But yet it left you coming out of that situation with a great big hole in the side of your hull. Scarred and indifferent. And here you are today, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50, whatever you are. And you're still carrying the damage in your Titanic. Unlike the real Titanic who was struck the night of the 14th of April, 1912. She didn't sink till the next morning, April the 15th, 1912. Took that long for her five compartments to begin to fill up with water. Totally reached the place to fill. Then she broke apart. She starts going down. She lands on the bottom of the ocean. For many of you, it's been 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But your journey's been hampered in life because of these deep emotional scars and distrust in marriage relationships and friendships. And yet you bury them within you to this very day. Carry them around like baggage and cargo. Are you willing today to acknowledge to the Lord, "Lord, I need help. Not with drinking, not with smoking, not with adultery, but with me, Lord. I don't want my Titanic to sink. Matter of fact, I'm going to rename her. I'm going to call her the Calvary boat. The old gospel ship is her name." Hallelujah. She'll not be another statistic on the bottom of the Atlantic of humanity. Friends, do you want to be another statistic in the message? Someone who turned away, someone who backslid, someone that couldn't take it no more. Someone who brought their scarred hull from one church to another, and they brought their subconscious and their problems to this assembly. And, oh, well, this is the wonderful church. This is a perfect church. And before long, the real them starts dealing with the people and they start interacting. And then, you know, they run into this problem and that problem. Oh, this church ain't what I thought it was. And they're gone to another church and another and another. And they're just sailing in the sea of life with their scarred hull, taking on more water, more complexes. And each church they leave, it scars them deeper. Instead of trying to look inside themselves and think, could possibly part of the problem be me? Could I be so flawed that I'm part of the problem? Oh my. Are you willing today to say, "Lord, would you raise your hand and say, be mindful of me?" God bless you, friends. God bless you for your honesty. Now, would you raise your eyes and look this way? Let me be honest and open before you today as an honest and open preacher. I bring scars
I bring all kinds of things into my walk with God. As a young boy, things I went through, things I experienced. Been called as a boy preacher at the age of 18. All kinds of things I had to go through. I bring that with me, my soul, my first conscience, my subconscious. No doubt, a lot of my dealings with message people that haven't turned out as good as they could have. No doubt, a lot of them were my fault. A preacher? Say that? Yeah, a preacher. Because you see, preachers are just like other people. They're scarred. Sometimes their halls are leaking. They have all kinds of problems and issues. But I'm willing to say today, God, I need your help. Have all my decisions been perfect? You know better than that. You've seen me make enough mistakes to know that yourself. But what should I do? Should I go ahead and fill up the rest of her with water and sink her on the bottom? No. Or should I not try to pump her out and let God change it? Yes. What about your own self? Should you go ahead and sink your life? No. Go ahead and try to take on more water, more cares, more problems, more situations, and just go ahead and try to wind up in the bottom of the Atlantic, as it were. And let people later in life try to study you and figure out, what happened to him? What happened? God help me that I don't become a preacher statistic. That preachers, people. Can you imagine several years ago when they come up with these little robots? Many of you may have seen them. These little robots, and they send them down to the bottom of the Atlantic, and they go down inside the Titanic, and they take these little robots, and maybe you've ever seen pictures of them or the videos of them, and they go inside these little Titanic. It's eerie as you watch it. The darkness, you see all the sea creatures that's around. You see glasses that they drunk out of. You see the staircase, the grand staircase that they walked up and down, the rich people. How many memories it holds there it had laid buried for all of these years until somebody designed a way to get down into the bottom of it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for sending your word to get down into the bottom of me. To be able to see my shortcomings and my failures. Steer through the staircase of my life and all the hidden things and whatever more. Let's pray together if you would. Lord Jesus, we bring our battered holes. We bring the gaping holes in our port side. We bring our fears. I've often thought about it, Lord, as I've seen some of the videos, excerpts of those little robots going down to the bottom of the Atlantic. And in my imagination, thinking the screams and the panic and the fear that must have been on that ship that night. Made people behave even unnormal. As they wanted the women and children to be saved first. And one man, they say, even changed his clothes and took a woman's clothes and dressed like a woman so he could be saved. So it was the thing of survival. Lord Jesus, we bring our holes, our gaping holes. Many of their lives are taking on water today. But we believe we're in the presence of the great master shipbuilder. That day when the Titanic pulled out of Southampton Harbor, it is said that the thrust of her engines was so great and her weight and her size so large that she actually tore loose another big boat which was there, broke the ropes and things that held it, and pulled it, started pulling it out into the ocean, of which many took note of and felt it was a bad sign for such a thing to happen before they begin their voyage. She was deemed unsinkable. But Lord, how many men, women, boys, and girls have been sunk Not because they drank. Not because they even had an uncontrollable temper. But because they couldn't trust anybody. Because they could not love properly. They couldn't function socially because of their childhood. Lord Jesus, we want to bring our crippled ships into the harbor of hope today. Maybe we're barely, as it were, able to get in. Many of the people now who study the tragedy of the Titanic say, if they would have done this, or if they would have done that, or done that. The captain commanding the engines to be reversed, now they say, was one of the worst things he could have done, because it took on more water. If they would have went to the right, if they would have done this or that, hindsight's always 20/20. Lord, may we look today. May we not go backwards and look, and I wish I'd have done this, I wish I'd have done that. But while there's still time, may we make it into the harbor of hope. May we pull our boats in and let the master builder fix the gaping holes, stop the leaks, reprogram us, retrain our brain, as it were. And the prophet said, go off this platform singing happy songs. Don't be weary. Don't even think about your sickness again. You're the type of person that is a deep thinker. Later in life, it will bother you greatly. You cross your bridges before you get to them. It's caused this peptic ulcer. Forget about it. Go off of here singing happy songs, being a happy person. The master builder just fixed a gaping hole on the port side of that person's subconscious. Lord Jesus, you see my scars, my hurts. I do not bring a perfect ship into your presence today. I don't know how many gaping holes she has. I don't know how long the scars are down the side, the rivets weakened from the storms of life. But Lord God, I want to bring her into Hope's Harbor. And let the great master builder send out his ship repairman of faith, that they can start on the repair of my ship, Lord. For I do not want to be a statistic in the bottom of the ocean of preachers. Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I ain't talking about alcohol. I ain't talking about smoking. I'm talking about overcoming me. Help us, Lord God. We bring our ships into your harbor, Lord. Fix us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Will everybody just raise up your white flag of surrender on your boat? You know what that means. White flag don't mean mutiny. It don't mean war. It means surrender. So let's pull up the white flag on the tallest mast pole, which means we're pulling into faith's harbor, the harbor of hope. And we pull in under a truce. We pull our cannons in, all of our weaponry. We pull in under a white flag. I surrender all, Lord. I bring my conscience, my subconscious, my fears, my inferiorities, all my scars, my gaping holes. And I come into the harbor and say, I need you like never before. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Come on, children. There's room for you. There's room. Bring your boat in. Let it be tied up to the dock of mercy. Let him rescue you. Many of these things you deal with and you suffer, you never asked for them. You never wanted them. But he wants to help you. He wants to help you. And he don't want you to remain here in the harbor. But he wants to bring the healing.
so he can send you back out on the sea of life. And you can be a witness. I too was one day wounded. I too had a hole in my side and felt like I'd never be able to survive. But I received some messages one day about an iceberg, and God salvaged my ship. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to anchor here today, Lord, and let our testimony be, my anchor holds. My anchor holds. An anchor don't do any good to a sinking ship. An anchor is only good for those who can float. So Lord, fix us, repair us, teach us what to do, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Would you take your battered hand and lay it across on the port side of that brother or sister ship that's standing by you? Remember, they got wounded subconsciouses. They're carrying all kinds of heavy baggage down beneath their looks. They act okay in church. They wave their hands. They got that certain smile about them. But really down on the inside, they're hurt so deep and carry so much stuff. Would you pray for them? That God would strengthen them. That God would help them. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. A ship to ship. We pray for one another. I pray for my brothers here on the platform, Lord. The brothers in the back in the audio booth, the video booth, the brothers upstairs. Lord, they sacrifice their worship time. They sacrifice their attention and all that to be able to make it where people can hear and stream and all. I pray and minister to my brothers, Lord. Service after service they give up, Lord, the deacons, the different ones who have a post of duty and they're willing to give it up. May you today, Lord God, go to them as well. Lord Jesus, we call upon your name, Father. May our lives be regulated under divine control. May we, Lord God, with a greater determination than ever before, desire to get our conscience, our subconscious, lined up with you so we can be able to make it on the sea of humanity. The gales can be fierce, Lord. The storms can be so scary at times. We definitely need everything going together to work in the right way to make it flow. We don't need no holes in the ship in this time of trouble. Lord God, we don't need no gaping holes in this scary time. Lord Jesus, we need to face it with all the strength and all the stability that we can. Help us, Lord God. Put the stabilizers out, Lord. Strengthen us emotionally, psychologically, mentally, physically, spiritually. Oh, grant it, I pray, Lord, that our whole mind and soul and heart and body can be presented to you, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing something here. Let's worship him now together, friends. Lord Jesus, we worship you today, Father. Can you just raise your sails now as it was in the presence of God? You're in Hope's Harbor now. Let your sails just wave there in the presence of God. Let the coolness from the breeze off of the river of life blow down through the harbor. Let it gently wave and blow your sails. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you wait on him to repair your boat. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. Lord Jesus.
Choir singing, just as I am. And now as the old song is played.
Yes, Lord God.
There's people at the altar kneeling down to pray.
Amen.
Some are finding mercy.
Mercy.
forgiveness for their sins.
Amen.
Some are fighting battles that they're struggling to win.
Glory.
The time has come.
The time has come, church.
Give them to
the Lord.
That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting,
yes,
friend. He's waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. There's a love that's true.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus is waiting.
Yes, Lord God.
He's waiting here for you.
Anybody else want to come and pray?
Quickly now.
Some you need to bring to the Lord.
Close the door.
Before they close the door.
That's what this altar is for.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father's praying with his son.
Yes, Lord.
Mother kneels beside them.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thanking God they've come. The old man is standing there in tears. Giving up a part of him that he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken.
Yes, Lord.
Lives are being changed.
Being changed.
Those who call upon him now, they'll never be the same. The time has come,
Lord God,
to give them to the
Lord.
That's what this altar is for.
worship you today, Father. We thank you, Lord. We have a place to come to bring all of our burdens, all of our troubles, Lord. As I said the other night, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your prophet. But I thank you for the church. I thank you for your attribute called the church. A place, Lord, a hospital, as it were, where the sick can come and find help. Where they can come, Lord God, and get spiritual sustenance to be able to restore them to a proper walk, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your abundant mercy and your grace, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What about all the rest of you that sat back there? Can you just join with me in worship and prayer? The Lord knows the needs of these that are here around the altar. Let's just pray for them now, if you would. Fathers, we bring before you tonight the needs of these that are around the altar today. Lord, you know what they are. Lord God, some physical and some spiritual. You know, you're the one that's able to look down in every heart here today and treat it as an individual. I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd move for everyone, Lord. May you give healing. May you give strength. May you give exactly what they have need of today, Lord. May they find encouragement. May they find uplifting things from down inside their soul. Lord God, give them strength for their journey. We thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for the service. I appreciate it today, Lord. It ministered unto me, and I receive it from you, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts, dear Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.
God's mercy
shook hands with right here at the altar, said, Brother Donnie, I want to thank God he raised my ship. Some of you was probably on the bottom, wasn't you?
He didn't just leave you as a hull on the bottom, but he come by and raised your ship and brought you back. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad he can do it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, it looked like it was beyond hope and beyond help. But he rewrote our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love him, friends, with all your heart. You appreciate his goodness today. I trust the service is a help to you, an encouragement to you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Let's sing together as we go in the fear of God. I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. Got the baptism? All right. Got the baptism this morning. Don't come prepared for that. Beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing. We'll be right back.
shall we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of
And you know, it's kind of bad for some ships to go down, but it's good for other ships to go down in the water also. So this ship is going to go down in water baptism, man. But it's going to come back up. Man. Little Daniel, the date was November the 27th, but Darrell Ward was preaching a message, Communion Night. And he preached that message, and at the end of the service, after the communion, Brother Donnie had all the people come up, and you probably remember the service, and the altar was just lined with people, and the spirit was just a spirit of love and devotion and conviction, and just a tremendous spirit, wonderful, wonderful spirit. But Daniel did not come up. He sat back in the seat and later wishes he did come up. But he said, when I was sitting back there, he said, my heart felt like it was going to explode. Now, I don't think he was having a cardiac arrest. I think little Daniel was probably much like little David. His cup was probably running over. And so he said, you know, something spoke to me and said, I need to get baptized. So I talked to him last night a little bit about repenting, being baptized, and talked about repenting. He said, yeah, ever since that time, I've had to do that 4 or 5 times a week. I thought to myself, I wish that's all I had to do was 4 or 5 times a week. So I know he's had a conversation with the Lord, and we're thankful for that. So he comes now to be buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father, as we pray, I don't know whether or not it would be possible for Natalie to look over the banister rail and look down and see this young boy that she's prayed many prayers for. If you could just let her look over the banister rail, now he's fulfilling those prayers. You're fulfilling those prayers and those dreams that she had. He's now coming to be buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise in newness of life. Lord, let her just look as this wonderful occasion takes place. And Father, we're thankful because these times are precious. And you deal with these young hearts of Daniel, 11 years old. And I pray, God, as I baptize him in water, that you'll baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Lord, let his life be a testimony. God, if it be your will and time should permit, let him raise up the care of the gospel, at least be a witness in a lighthouse, be a positive sign of the grace of God that's been bestowed in his life. I pray now, God, you'll grant these things. We give you love and praise and thanksgiving for what you've done already in his heart, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Little Daniel, on a confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. And the church said, Amen. Amen.